many of us know from experience, child-resistant packaging, better known to us simply as child-proof bottles, that's a good thing. It prevents a young child from opening a medicine bottle. But it can also be a bad thing. These bottles are near to impossible to open for older people with arthritis or some other ailment. Someone in the White House once observed President Nixon in the Oval Office trying to open a child-proof bottle of aspirin with his teeth. I dare say some of us have tried the same thing. If we think getting a child-proof bottle open is difficult, imagine that scene in the gospel when Jesus has to open a deaf man's ears. Fortunately, he does it, and as we heard, the deaf man walks away able to hear. Oftentimes, it's advantageous for us to put ourselves into the gospel somewhere. So let's see if we can identify with that man who is deaf. We're really told next to nothing about him, except he's from the region of the Decapolis, 10 cities clustered together in northern Palestine. And we're told he can't hear, which has also impacted his ability to speak. Some of us may be hard of hearing, but few of us here are actually deaf, at least in the physical sense of not being able to hear. But we could also say that deafness comes in many shapes and sizes. A well-known marriage counselor says he can discern in 5 minutes with a couple if their marriage is going to make it. He says it depends on if the couple is able to listen to each other, to open their ears to hear what their partner is trying to say. If they're deaf to one another and can't hear what the other person is saying, then he says the marriage is not going to make it. Most married couples here have experienced something familiar or similar, a frustration when we're not heard or listened to. It's one kind of deafness that we all have. We can also be deaf to the cry of the widow, the orphan, the resident alien. We can be deaf to the groans of all creation as coral reefs and creatures of every sort are purged from the earth by our arrogance or by our ignorance. We can be deaf to the harm or hurt that our own words cause to the people around us. So it shouldn't be all that difficult for us to identify with the deaf man in the gospel. Then as the story progresses, some friends bring that same man to Jesus. We're told that they beg Jesus to lay his hand on the man. We know that many people had heard that Jesus was a healer, so it's certainly sensible that family and friends would have brought the deaf man to him so that he might be healed of his infirmity. The point here is that if we're like the deaf man, and face it, we all are in some way, then we have to ask Jesus to heal us. This requires first that we are honest with ourselves, that we're able to admit that we don't hear everything we should hear, that we've closed ourselves off to a lot of the sounds and voices of people around us. Too often, we're in an echo chamber that we have created so that we only hear what we want to hear. A pretty wise spiritual writer once said that any time we ask God for something, we're going to have to be prepared to give up something. Now, his point was that God certainly gives freely, yes. But we have to be willing to sacrifice something that is preventing us, stopping us from receiving what God wants to give us. So, for example, it could be our pride that we have to let go of. Maybe it's our belief that we know everything already, or most everything. We have the answer. Or it could be our desire to be in control. Again, as we approach Jesus with a request, we also have to be open to letting go of something. In this instance, the deaf man had to have that desire to hear rightly. So his friend, speaking for him, asked Jesus to lay his hands on him so that he might hear. Now the evangelist goes into a quite vivid description of how Jesus brings about the healing of that deaf man. As we heard, there's spit, there's groans to heaven, and then there's that key word, ephphatha, which is a Greek word simply that means be opened. As we find Jesus doing so often, he issues a command and things happen as a result. The thing that happens here is that the command be opened results in the deaf man being able to hear and then to speak. That which was closed was opened by the power of the Spirit that was within Jesus. A pastor wrote an article about a similar experience in his church this past winter. He said that they had seen and they had heard about undocumented immigrants being arrested, but it really didn't mean much to them. That is, until one of their own was taken away. The pastor explained it in this way: our eyes were opened. So together they organized legal help for the man and support for his family. That pastor says, now we know who they are. One thing I can say for certain, the Spirit came to our community one cold winter day and opened our eyes and warmed our hearts. As we listen to his experience, we see the similarities with the deaf man's story in the gospel. Two words brought about a radical change. In both of these instances, when the Spirit of the Lord commanded, be opened, and ears and eyes and mouths and hearts were opened. Certainly, it would be fair for us to interpret this story of healing on several levels. For us, it might be important for us to see this story not so much as a physical healing as it was of that man, but as a spiritual healing that we need. Yes, the deaf man was cut off from others, apart, separated. And Jesus, through his healing, brought him close to the community, to others, so that he could hear their words and the beating of their hearts. The same can happen to each one of us. God will open our ears and our hearts if we ask him to.